Hi, my name is Chef Robert Sevely, and this is another episode of Flavor of Riverside. Today, we're going to be making sushi. Now we're going to start talking about rice. And notice, I want you to notice that the rice is a short grain rice, which has a lot of starch in that short grain rice, which is needed in order for the rice to be sticky rice or really stick together. And so the sticky rice, the reason why they use the short grain rice in Japan is because it's a colder climate rice. So now, as you move down the coast, it will get into longer grain rices like jasmine rice. And then down in Southeast Asia, they're using a lot of basmati rice and stuff like that. But even in the northern part of China, they're eating a lot of short grain rice. That's because of the colder climate. So first thing that we want to do with our short grain rice is we want to start washing it. Now, the brand that I like to use the best is called Botan. You can get this at most every grocery store. It'll be in the Asian section, and it's just a great sticky rice or a short grain sticky rice. But it needs to be washed. Like I said, it has a lot of starch in it, and there's a lot of kind of like rice dust through the whole milling process of pulling off the brand on the outside of the rice. And so we want to get that off of there. I'm going to just sort of quickly show that. I just have some cold tap water here. And how we want to wash the rice is, I've noticed that a lot of people will like put the rice into a colander or some sort of strainer and try to do it that way. What we want to do is we want to do it in a bowl or even your rice cooker insert, okay, which that's what this is. And so we'll talk a little bit about rice cookers in a minute. But you'll notice that the water comes out milky right off the bat. And how I want to do it, and I want to do this on the sink. You know, I don't have the advantage of having a sink in front of me. But we want to do this underneath the sink, underneath running cold water. And I want to kind of flutter my hand back and forth as I do this. And then I want to pour the water out. I want to add more water in, pour the water out. And I want to do it as many times as I think is necessary. Now, what I mean by that is I've talked to lots of different sushi chefs. I have lots of friends that do this for a living. And some of them will say, you know, wash the rice until the water comes clear, meaning I'd be willing to drink that water. Other people will say, no, do it three times and you're good to go. So really, that's up to you. For the most part, I do it like five times, and then I think it's done. The water's not usually super clear, but I can definitely see the rice. And here, I'll pour this back out into the pitcher, and you'll be able to see exactly how milky the rice is. Now, notice the rice sinks. Any rice that's floating, it just let it go, let it run out, because it has a cavity inside of it that's allowing it to float. So then I'd pour more water over it, and I'd keep fluttering my hand back and forth, and I'd keep washing this rice, and I'd pour the water out, and I'd do that five different times. Then from there, I want to go into my rice cooker. Now, of course, measuring the rice, you know, when talking about rice cookers, there's a cup that comes with your rice cooker itself. Always keep that cup. Don't use it for anything else. Don't ever lose it, because the cup matches the rice cooker. So the way that I store it when I go to store my rice cooker itself is I leave the cup inside. That way it's always with it. I never end up using it as a prep cup or something like that, and I end up destroying it or getting it lost. So if I'm going to cook four cups of rice, I'm going to do level cups of rice of this cup. And then inside of here are numbers, and it will say four cups. So after I'm done washing, after I measure the rice, after I'm done washing the rice, Then I'm going to add the water in up to the 4-cup level, if that's what I'm doing. So then, if you've washed your rice inside the rice cooker insert, what's extremely important is making sure that you get the outside of the rice cooker insert very, very dry. Remember, this is kind of like a crock pot. You know, a crock pot has an insert as well. That insert would also need to be really dry because it's an electrical heating element that's going to cook this rice. And we don't want to get water onto that heating element. And so your rice cooker is just going to last you a lot longer if you make sure that it's super dry on the outside before you start cooking the rice. Now, the other things that I need to add to this is going to be, one, it's going to be kombu. Okay, kombu is basically kelp. Now, where this comes from is our kelp line, like that you see through San Diego and through Santa Barbara and stuff, when water levels were much lower, that kelp line, they believe, historians believe, that it used to go all the way across to Japan. Because it's a fact that our kelp is the exact same kelp that's in Japan. And that's exactly what this is. So this is what they call kombu, and it's a piece of just ordinary kelp that you see when you're out swimming in the ocean. It's been salted and dried, and they use it a lot like bay leaves. They'll put it into soups. They'll put it into different broths and stocks that they're making. So I just want to break a piece off, and I want a piece right about yay big. So that goes into the rice. Then the other thing is I have some sake here. So just some basic average sake, and I want to throw, you know, a glug of that into it. And I'll just open this up. And I'll add a glug of the sake to the rice. Now, along with the water, this is ready to go. I'd take my insert over, I'd put it into my rice cooker, and I'd click the button. And just walk away. It does its own thing. So now let's get out some cooked rice, and we'll show you guys how to start cooling it down. Okay, now for cooling the rice. I have the rice. It's already cooked. So a little bit of TV magic going on here. I'm going to remove the lid. You can see it's hot. This is ready to go. And you want to do this while it's hot. What we need to do is we need to cool this down. And so I have the kombu in here. Here's the kombu, all cooked and has seasoned the rice. Then I'm going to get in here with my rice paddle. And you could use just a rice paddle that comes with the rice cooker. That's fine, too. I tend to like a little bit longer handle so I don't, like, burn myself with the steam or the rice itself. And I'm going to get in here, and I'm going to go all the way around so it pops out of there. And sometimes, I don't know if it will this time, but sometimes rice cookers tend to brown the rice a little bit on the bottom. So I want to be careful about that. So I'm just going to flip this over and into some sort of big bowl. Pull this out. Now you can see the rice stuck here. And that's fine for me because all that rice would be browned on the bottom. You have to pay a lot of money for a rice cooker that doesn't brown the rice. And so almost all sushi places deal with this. So I just want to leave that rice. That can come out in the sink and go right down the garbage disposal. So now I have my rice, and this happens to be 4 cups of rice. So 2 4-cups of rice, I'm going to add 3/4 of a cup of seasoned rice vinegar. Not just rice vinegar, seasoned rice vinegar. So this has salt and sugar in it. Now, all vinegars have to start out as alcohol. So sometimes you'll see it as seasoned rice wine vinegar. It's all the same thing. So just realize that all vinegar starts out as alcohol, and then through another fermentation process, the alcohol gets turned into vinegar. That's why sometimes wine will go bad and stuff like that. It's actually turning into vinegar. So I'm going to take my seasoned rice vinegar, and I'm going to pour this all through here. Then I'm going to use a straight rice paddle, okay? And I'm going to start going back and forth through this, like so. Now, Reason why I'm not just in here vigorously stirring is because I don't want to break up the rice. Remember, the most important part to sushi for the Japanese is the rice itself. So we need to treat this with ultra care. I think of sushi rice a lot, like the short grain sushi rice, is it's a lot like arborio rice, the same rice that you would use to make risotto in Italy. And so there's so much starch, just like how you constantly stir risotto in order to build up the starch, I want to constantly be moving this around as it's cooling. And so it's something that you kind of have to sit here and do. I'm going to break up any sort of clumps. I'm still, you know, I can see the vinegar kind of still pooling up on the bottom. I might get in here and flip it over and turn it and all that good stuff, but then keep going back and forth through it like so. And this just helps build up the starch itself, and it all starts coming together and it just starts absorbing all that vinegar. Now, the other thing that you're supposed to have is some sort of fan. You're supposed to be fanning this at the same time. What most sushi restaurants do is they buy a house fan and they just put a house fan right next to the rice, and that starts cooling it off as well. Paper plate works just fine. So I can sit here like this and I can go back and forth, and it's kind of like rubbing your head and patting your stomach, or patting your stomach and rubbing your head, however you want to look at it. And so I just keep kind of fanning this down as I go. Now feel free to let it sit for a bit as you need to move on, but you'll know that the rice is done once it quits steaming. I can still see steam coming off of this, and it's just, you know, like room temperature is what you want it to get to. So just stick with this, keep fanning. And once this is all cooled down, you have your sushi rice and you're ready to go. So let's move on to the next part. We're going to get prepping our vegetables. Okay, now let's get to prepping our vegetables. Let's first talk about knives. Sushi knives. This is my own personal sushi knives. I have a couple of them. What I want you to notice with these is that they're sharpened only on one side. So the beveling, or the sharp side, is going down to the edge, and then on this side it's completely flat. This makes this a right-handed knife. Almost all knives in Japan are right-handed knives, and the reason for this is because, you know, in Japan it was considered a bad omen to the family in order to have a left-handed child. And so literally what they used to do was tie the left hand down, have them use their right, they would get used to it, and they'd either become ambidextrous or right-handed. I think it's funny, though, because in modern days, they think of a left-handed child as a blessing now, and it's mostly because Japan is so into baseball, and they need left-handed pitchers. So, unless you special order a left-handed sushi knife, all of them are going to be right-handed, and you can see me holding it so the beveling's to the outside of my right. All right, they're a little bit difficult to sharpen. You only sharpen them on the one side, and you know they can range anywhere from $50 or $60 on up to thousands of dollars with a sushi knife. So when I do most of my vegetable prep, I tend to still use my European chef's knife. And so let's talk about some of the vegetables that we need. Of course, we need avocado. We have carrots, we have asparagus, and we have cucumber. This is an English cucumber. These are the cucumbers that come individually wrapped at your grocery store. So let's go ahead and prep these. Now, here's the funny thing. We're going to do cucumber and carrots first. I'm going to remove all of my knives, and I'm going to get out this cool little peeler-looking deal right here. This is a julienne peeler. Makes for easy works of anything that you want to julienne. So I'm just going to take this. I want it the length of about 3 inches or so. And so I'm just going to follow this down. And I want mostly the green. And some of the other stuff. The only part that I don't want is going to be the seeds. So that is probably enough. So you can see there is all my cucumber ready to go, all julienned and beautiful. So I'm going to move that to a paper plate. I use paper plates because they're disposable. So I can have all my prep on there, and then after I'm done, I can just throw the paper plate right in the trash. Now for my carrots. Try not to press too hard because sometimes you'll get them stuck together. So now I'm going to go through and do carrots. And if you're doing stir fries or you just want to julienne vegetables for your salad or something like that, these peelers are a must. A lot cheaper than getting a mandolin or something like that. And so, you know, you come out with some unique shapes of the vegetables as well. So now I'll take those carrots and I'll move those to my paper plate. All right, next, I have my asparagus. And for my asparagus, what I did was I blanched it. So I got a pot of boiling water, got that water up to a boil, and then I added the asparagus. Once it turned all bright green, then I took it and I shocked it in ice water. And then it's basically ready to go. We want to make sure that we cut the woody part off. But then I'm just going to take my chef's knife and I'm going to cut them lengthwise. So they're easy to go into the rolls. Now, you don't have to do this. You could leave them whole. But you'll notice that most sushi places cut them. Maybe they just go a little bit farther if you do that. You don't have to have as many asparagus. So that's enough. We're going to take those and move those to my paper plate. Okay, then that brings us to the avocado. Avocados, I have two different types of avocados here. I have a Haas avocado and a bacon avocado. They'll be in the same bin at the grocery store. You're the one who has to tell them apart. The Haas avocado tends to have more oil in it, which oil is flavor, or fat is flavor. So people will say that the Haas avocado tastes better. How you can tell the difference is the Haas avocado has a lot of bumps on it, usually isn't as elongated or avocado shaped. And so this one's the Haas. This one is called the bacon avocado. So they say the Haas has more flavor than the bacon, even though they're going to be all mixed in to one bin. So I have both. I swear to God, I seriously doubt that you'll be able to tell in a side-by-side blind taste test which one's which. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to set all the veggies aside, and we're going to talk about different sauces that we need for making sushi. So the first thing would be soy sauce is the first sauce that we need. Pick out the one that you like. I just have a Kikkoman here. It's a low sodium, and you can get it in these cool little bottles that you see in the restaurant. Then the next one is the eel sauce. I happen to have some eel sauce at home that I made. Then we have sriracha. Sriracha or rooster sauce, some people call it. That's going to help us make our spicy tuna. Then, of course, we have wasabi. Then we have our Thai chili sauce. And basically, this is going to get mixed with mayonnaise. And that's going to be that kind of spicy, sweet mayonnaise sauce that's on the plates of sushi and stuff like that. Of course, we have the pickled ginger that we need. And then I have a mixture of black sesame and toasted sesame seeds. All right? So let's make some of this stuff. I'm going to just set a few of these aside. And we'll come back to those later. Let's start with wasabi. So wasabi is in a powder. This happens to be the Beaver brand. Wasabi is a type of horseradish root that's indigenous to Japan. It grows along the streams in Japan. It's kind of rare nowadays. It's really expensive. So believe it or not, this is basically American horseradish that has a little bit of seaweed in it to give it that kind of oceany flavor and green food coloring. And that's what it all is. If you actually got real green wasabi, you're going to pay through the nose for it. All right, so something that I've learned about wasabi, the fact that it's powdered and everything, is it's not very hot in its powdered form. I've actually completely coated like pieces of fish with it and seared them in a pan and served them. And it's great. It gives this nice kind of Asian sort of oceany flavor to it. I've also noticed if I add too much water, I overactivate the wasabi and then it's not as hot. So I want to use a spoon or my fingers and I want to add just a little bit of water at a time and I want to get that nice paste, that consistency that you get at all the sushi places. Now, this is fresh water. And I'm going to just add a touch and start with that. So literally a couple of tablespoons. And you can tell it's not near enough. But notice, even myself, I'm not overadding. I'm adding basically a little bit at a time. And as soon as it comes together, I'm going to stop. So we're getting close. A little bit more. That will probably about do it. You can see it's coming together now. Now we want to make sure there aren't any like dried lumps in it or anything like that. So really get it well mixed. And you can see it's all kind of pulling away from the bowl and everything like that. Now I can kind of get my hands in there. You know, when doing sushi, make sure that your hands are thoroughly washed. Remember, you're not cooking anything. And so everything's being eaten raw. So it's going from your hands to people's mouths. So my hands are really washed, really good. And I can pick it up now and ball it up and place it into that ball. And now it's ready to use. And it's really strong. I can feel it right through my nose right now. It's good to go. I'm gonna just set it back in my bowl. We're gonna set it aside and it'll be ready to use. Okay, let me get my water set aside. The next one is gonna be the mayonnaise and the Thai chili sauce. So here's the Thai chili sauce. And you know, it's in these weird bottles. This one actually says sweet chili sauce. Some of my recipes that I've done in the past, because I've been using this stuff for years, it's great with egg rolls. It's great as a kind of low-fat salad dressing. I can, you know, some people pour it directly onto sushi rolls and stuff like that. And so use it how you want to use it. But what they'll do is we'll add some of this in, and then we're going to take about equal parts of mayonnaise. And there's even like a Japanese mayonnaise that you can use. It's a sweet mayonnaise, but I don't necessarily find it necessary. Use whatever you have in your cupboard. So a little mayonnaise, just gonna get a whisk here, and we're gonna bring this together. You can see I pretty much need to use a whisk in order for it to get mixed. But there you go, that's the color that we're looking for. And that's good to go. All right. So I'm just going to set that aside. I'm going to take my squeeze bottle and hopefully we'll get this right on point. And we'll add the mayonnaise mixture to the squeeze bottle. And now we can decorate, make things pretty. If you did mess up the side really good, put the lid on. Put your thumb over the top, go and rinse it underneath the sink. Okay? So that's ready to go. Of course, we talked about the pickled ginger. pickled ginger is available. We have also the sesame seeds. So pretty much that's all for our sauces. And so from there, we'll be right back. We're going to start working on fish, and we're going to get some of the sushi rolled up. Okay? I'm really excited. I'll see you in a few minutes. Now we're ready for the big money stuff, and that's going to be all the fish. First, we want to get our sushi mat ready and set. So here is a basic sushi mat. They're usually made out of bamboo, interwoven with the twine in between that holds them all together. Now, I don't want to, you know, they're really cheap. They're, you know, $2-3, but people get like their favorite sushi mat. And so we don't want to destroy it on the first use. If I put fish directly on this, it's never going to get that fish smell out of it. It's going to get nasty in your drawer and stuff. So I need to wrap it with saran wrap. Also, the saran wrap helps the rice, like when you do inside out rolls, come away from the sushi mat itself. So the first thing that I need is I need some plastic wrap. And so I'll pull this out, cut this edge off here, and then I'm going to lay my sushi mat in there. Now you can see my plastic wrap is going along either side. I'm going to, so it needs to cover the whole thing. I'm going to pull this up. I'm going to cut it here. I'm going to pull this over the top of the mat. Now I don't want it to bind up. I want it to make sure it lays flat. And then I take it and I fold the seams onto itself. So here's the other side. So the seams are all on one side of the mat. Then I flip it over and that mat's ready to use. Okay? So let's set, I have a one mat that's already ready to go. And so let's set these aside and we'll get started with fish. So the fish that we're using today is all sushi grade, okay? And here's our salmon, beautiful piece of salmon. Now, this isn't just salmon that you go and you purchase from, you know, like a Rouse or Vons. Not saying that they don't have good salmon, but this is line-caught salmon. It's been, you know, bled. It's had all the treatments for it for being ready to do for sushi. I also want you to notice that any sort of byproduct that's still left on the salmon usually is gone. So there's usually a little bit of a bloodline here that's been cut out, and that was cut out by the company that's selling this as sushi grade salmon. And then on the other side, you can see it's been cut out right here. So there's no real silver skin. There's no bloodline, nothing. It's ready to rock and roll. The next one, albacore, okay? So here's a loin of albacore, also sushi grade, ready to go. I'm going to need to cut these into sako blocks, which basically that's what I have right here. So this is already cut into a sako block. This is tuna, so tuna sako block. And so that's ready to go. How it comes is like this in the package, okay? And this is yellowfin, not bluefin. Almost all of our bluefin goes over to Japan because they're willing to pay a lot more money for it. But you can see the nice, beautiful pink color. That's because the fish is treated from the second that it's caught that it is going to be for sushi. It's not like once it gets back to the dock, okay, is this going into canned tuna fish or is this going to sushi? That fish is treated for sushi the second it hits the deck. One of the shows that you can watch, it's a reality show, is Wicked Tuna. And all those fish that they're catching is all for sushi for Japan. And you can see exactly how they treat those fish once they come aboard the vessel. Then, of course, we have like imitation crab. This is like crab sticks, you know. So you can either use those, which that is not crab at all. So if somebody is allergic to shellfish, they're going to be fine. This is a type of fish with crab flavoring in it. They'll be just fine. I also have some salmon roe, which is beautiful stuff. So we're going to make a little bit of that. Then I also have some real crab. This is called lump crab. It's made by Phillips. I accidentally cut the can upside down, but just trust me, it's Phillips brand. And they call it lump crab because it's in, that one broke, but it's in big lumps. So these are the muscles that basically connect the leg to the body, and they are absolutely delicious. These cans have to be refrigerated, though. They have an expiration date on it, so they haven't been pasteurized or anything, but the crab is fully cooked, and it is absolutely delicious. You want a crab cocktail? This is some of the best stuff to use. You can get this at like Smart and Final and stuff like that, okay? So the next thing that we have is we have the Flying Fish Roe, okay? So these are the orange eggs that you'll see sometimes decorating the top. And, you know, they're delicious. They're beautiful. We have that. We also, to make a vegetarian one, this is pickled daikon radish. It's, you know, you can see it's yellow in color. It's really tasty. Daikon radish is a type of white radish that's really huge. And they come, you know, they pickle it and it comes in packages like this. So this is a pretty common thing to use in sushi as well. Then we also have sea urchin. And, you know, we're really stoked that Art Institute donated all this product for us to be able to use today and are really helping out the show. And so this is a sea urchin. Basically, it's sea urchin roe. It's delicious. To me, it tastes a little bit, it's kind of like fishy liver is kind of how it tastes. It's really good. So we have that. I'm sort of running out of room here because we have so many different things that we can utilize. And then we also have the sweet shrimp. And so these are already butterflied, already cooked, already ready to go. You can purchase them just like this. And so now we need to get some of the prep work going, but this is everything that we're going to try to utilize today. So let me get some of this knife cuts. We'll show you some of the knife cuts on how to cut the fish. And, you know, we'll come back and we'll make your guys' favorite sushi rolls. All right? Now, you've done all this work. I know it seems kind of like a lot. But really, what you can do for a party that you're going to have is get all this done and then break it up into like areas in your kitchen and then have your friends all come over or even have them help you with the prep work. But then you guys can all roll your own sushi. It's a really great way to have a party. And so let's talk about rolling a little bit. Next, we have the nori. Okay, nori is the seaweed that's on the outside of the sushi rolls. And this is what a single sheet of nori looks like. Make sure I have a single sheet here. There you go. And we have two sides. We have the shiny, glistening side, and we have the rough side. The rough side's always the side that the rice is going to go on. And then you have lines in it. And those lines help you roll it without it cracking. And so here's the nori. We want to take our sheet here and set down one piece. So then the other thing that I need is a bowl of water. I have my water here. I got a lot going on, so let me just set these up in the side. And so I also have my rice right here in a pot. We can remove the lid. Get that going. That's all cooled off and ready to go. So it's nice and close to me. So the first thing that we're going to do is just a standard sushi roll. So I'm going to get my hands really wet. If they're not wet, the rice is going to stick to my hands. I'm going to get in here. I'm going to get like a softball size piece of rice. Okay, lump of rice. I'm going to go down onto the nori. My hands wet again. I need to work kind of fast. I'm going to break that up from the middle to the outside. I want to make sure I come all the way to the edge. But for this particular roll, I want to leave one band. Okay? Kind of get it nice and even. If you have to grab more rice, grab more rice. Make sure it's all the way out to the edges. Now this is going to be a fairly big roll. I know some people don't like as much rice. And obviously you can always eat just sashimi, okay, which is just the fish itself. So now let's go ahead and do a vegetable roll. I'm going to get the pickled daikon and I'm going to lay that in here. Get several pieces, just sort of overlapping them. Okay, if I have to break some pieces off so it makes the whole length, that's fine. All right, so now what I want you to think of is a wave. I want to come up over the top and go right over the top of this whole thing. Why don't we add a few other things since it's a vegetable roll? We're going to go in here with some carrots. And if it's sticking out the sides, that's fine. Let's go with a little cucumber. All right, now remember the wave. We're going to take the mat. I'm going to go up over the top. And then down to the rice. That's going to get me good and centered. Now I'm here, okay? And it looks like so. I'm going to take a little bit of my water, and I'm going to wet my paper in the end. And using my mat, I'm going to continue that over the top, sealing it, bringing it down like so. So here's a good sign of a good sushi guy, a good sushi person, is that there's no rice on the outside, okay? So I can take my mat again, go over the top and make sure it's good and cylindrical, so nice and round. All right, I'm going to set that one up to the side. We're going to cut them all at once right at the end. And keep myself really clean, okay? Next, we're going to do an inside-out roll. That's going to be where the rice is on the outside. Now, for my nori on that one, what I'm going to do is I need to trim the nori. Most good sushi chefs will literally just fold this in half and crack it in half and just use that. For everybody at home, I suggest not quite in half. You can see the lines on here. And I'm going to just leave a little extra length. So I'm going to use some scissors. And I'm going to cut across. I can save this for a different preparation. I'm going to lay this on here. And now I'm going to add a little bit bigger than a baseball size of rice. Get my hands really wet. Put the rice down the center. Wet again. Pull this to the outside. Now for this one, I want to go all the way to the edges. All the way around, almost overlapping. So rice just slightly overlapping. Anywhere where it's not even or I have holes, you're going to have bumps and divots. Okay. Now notice I'm not mashing the rice down. I'm trying to keep it nice and fluffy. It will mash down enough when I flip it. So now what I'm going to do, I'm going to take the whole sheet. I'm going to flip it over onto my board. Now this rice is getting my paper wet, so I got to kind of hurry. On this one, let's do the spicy tuna. So I've already mixed this up earlier, and it's all nice and chopped up. And I'm going to add my spicy tuna down the center. I want to make sure I go all the way to the edges. And I want to be even. So make it kind of somewhat into a cylinder as well. All right, nice and even. Okay. Now once again, I'm going to do the wave. And I'm going to have it curl over and go bam. All right. So up and over, straight down. Kind of press this one. So it's nice and down like so. So you can see how that looks pretty good. And see, if it was perfect, the seams would just come together. I don't try to be perfect. I have never done this for a living. I've only done it as a hobby. And I have a lot of chef friends that do it as a living. And so this is how I suggest you do it at home. Now I'm just gonna finish rolling. I'm gonna cylindrical it up. And you can see there's no, even though there's a little tuna sliding out the side, there's no seam. That's what's important. I can do this in so many ways. One of the things that I can do is I can add some smelt eggs. I could put more tuna across the top. I could have put vegetables on the inside. There's just over and over all these different types that you can do, all these different ways of doing it. So let's add some of the flying fish roe eggs. They also call them smelt eggs, and the only reason why is because flying fish and smelt are in the same family. Okay? So a nice even line of the eggs. Just like so. Then I'm going to take my sushi mat or just a piece of plastic wrap, you can do too. I'm going to lay this over the top. I'm just going to press it down to the roll. Okay, kind of forming that in. And then now that's stuck on top of there. Okay, so that's going to get set aside and we'll cut that in a second. You get cleaned up again. Make sure you always clean your mat, otherwise, everything's going to start. Coming together. Okay, now we're gonna get cutting. I'm gonna take my sushi knife. I need to make sure I have wet hands. And I'm gonna go right down the center of this. Then putting them together. Maintaining a wet, clean knife is really important, whether it's a sushi knife or not. And we're going to cut down the center here. And we're cutting into 8 pieces. Just like so. Set that aside. I'm going to bring my plate over. And this one we're just going to straight plate up. So, might take some of my eel sauce. Take some of the sweet mayonnaise. A little bit of the sriracha. And then we're just going to take these pieces, place them down the center. It's like so. This last one, stick it on this end. Clean my plate up a little bit. And there's your spicy tuna roll. Okay, so we'll set that aside. Okay, now we're gonna make the nigiri. Nigiri is the sushi with the balls of rice underneath and the fish over the top. So we don't need our mat for this. We're gonna set that aside and we'll probably come back and do a few of those. But the first thing that we need to do is get our rice ready. So go ahead and get your hands really wet. We're gonna come in here and grab a touch of rice and we're gonna press this together with our hands, kind of making a cylinder so it all sticks together. And we're gonna Just make these little balls, okay? Sometimes too much water is a mistake as well, but still keep wet. All right, try to make these all the same size, just for looks. If you grab too much rice, just peel some off. So there's another one. Get another cylinder going. Just keep shaping this cylinder. One more. Okay. Nice cylinder of rice here. Just like so. Then, I'm going to take a little bit of wasabi. Going to add a little fleck of this to each one. Just like that. Then on one, we can add the tuna, okay, over the top. What I want to do is kind of stretch that out a little bit, okay, just like that. We can do a salmon one over the top as well. Stretch that out so it looks nice and pretty. Then, why don't we do albacore? That's not the great, awesome piece. Let's trim it a little bit. Lay that over the top. Push it down on there. And then the shrimp, the sweet shrimp, over the top as well. Okay. So there you have your sushi ready to go. All right. So those we can set aside, ready for plating. I'll probably end up making a few more for when we plate up. But I want you guys to see each and every one of these. Okay, our next one that we're going to do is we're going to do a hand roll. Hand rolls are really fun. They're probably, if you do this at home, going to be the most common way that you're going to eat sushi, because rolls can be kind of time consuming to make. And these are quick and easy and right into your mouth. So I'm going to take the paper. I'm going to break it. I'm going to get it pulled apart like so. Then I'm going to hold the paper in my hand like this. Notice how it comes up across my fingers. Now the idea is that this is going to come up and we're going to make a cone. Okay. So the first thing that I need is my water back. A little bit of water. Grab just a small ball of rice. Put that in there. Then let's do more spicy tuna. Okay. Gonna put the spicy tuna up in there. Like so. As much or kind of as little as you want. We could do an asparagus up in here as well. Be fine, just for some decoration, whatever else you want. Now, real simply, I'm going to take this corner, almost like I'm folding a flag, and I'm going to come up to that top edge, and then I'm just going to continue rolling this all the way around, just like so. I'm going to take a little bit of water and wet that. Some people use a little piece of rice. Usually the water works fine. And there, I have a hand roll, okay? Nice hand roll. So I'm gonna set that down. Now we wanna do a few of the little cup sushis. So I'm gonna set this aside. And what I need is I need some bands of nori. And these will pretty much be the last ones that we do. use this one here. Actually, all these are too wet. So let me grab another sheet of nori. And I'm going to cut some bands. Like so. Get another one. Maybe one more. Okay, now, real simply, we're going to get our hands wet and get some rice. Take a small ball of rice here, and we're going to ball this up into like a thin oblong disc, almost egg-shaped, like so. Just like that. Then we're going to take our band, and we're going to wrap this around the rice. A little bit of water to seal it. Then take a spoon, and we have our salmon eggs here. We have our salmon eggs, and we're going to just pull some of those out. My hand's wet. And go right down into the center. Nice and high. And so there's one with the salmon eggs. That looks absolutely beautiful. You get this closed up and set aside. Then let's do another one with the sea urchin. So get my hands wet again. Another egg-shaped disc. Take a band, nori. Wrap this around so it makes like a little cup. Set this aside now. Then bring over our sea urchin. Use a spoon. Pull some of this up off of here. Go right down into the cup. What a lot of times they do is they'll put a quail egg yolk on top of it. So there is the sea urchin. So now, let's go ahead and plate up. All right, so we have our sushi all plated up. Let me just finish by garnishing it. First, for sure, we want a nice thing of wasabi. Okay, we're going to place that down in the center of the board. We want some pickled ginger. And then the last thing is we want some chuka salad. This you can also get at 99 Ranch. It's a type of seaweed salad that's absolutely delicious and beautiful at the same time. So place that on there. Remember to serve these with the sauces on the side, with some soy sauce, chopsticks. You'll be ready to go. I've really had a lot of fun showing you guys how to roll sushi in your houses. I dare you to try this at home. Have a lot of fun. Thank you. My name's Chef Robert Sevely. This has been Flavor of Riverside. Keep cooking.